Alrighty, so today we are going to continue our series on the topic of grace and how important grace is in our life. And we're going to look at it from a perspective today about teaching grace and how do we live under grace and not under the law. And that is a question that sometimes comes up in our walk with God. See, the law represents rules. And I know a lot of people don't like rules. Now, some people do. Some people like a lot of rules in their life. And if there are no rules, does that mean grace? Or does living under grace means we can go out and do, you know, really anything we want, and then God will just automatically forgive us? I think that's a valid question, because that's one that is pretty well prevalent in our culture today. There's a movement like that. Now, the other side of the coin is that some people think you have to keep all the rules, and only by keeping all the rules is the way that you get favor with God. And what I look at is that some Christians either live in one of these ditches or the other. You know, being a young man, I spent a little bit of time in the ditch, if you know what I'm saying. You know, and I was usually in one ditch or the other from time to time. And I think that's how many Christians sometimes, you know, live their walk. We need to be really right down the middle of the road when it comes to God. And I know driving a car, that's not where you're supposed to be. You know, you're supposed to be on your side. But when it comes to God, we need to try to get as close to the middle in His will and how His revelation is revealed to us so that we can walk in a greater level of authority and freedom. Because freedom is what it's all about. So we're going to look today at teaching grace. And the scripture we're going to look at is Titus. Some of you may have never looked at Titus before in your life. He's right behind 2 Timothy and right before Hebrews. It says Titus 11, verse 11 to verse 13. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of our glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, we honor You today. We thank You, Lord, for Your anointing, the power of Your Spirit to be here. Lord God, we just ask that You just fill us each with Your presence today. We thank You, Lord, for just being able to stir us up to want us to hunger and thirst for more of Your righteousness. Lord, right now I yield to the gift and I use it for Your glory that You put inside of me. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to backtrack a little bit and recap what we've looked at so far. Remember, this is part three. So part one and two, first we looked at the idea of saving grace. Now this is something that you really need to understand, is that mercy is when we don't get what we deserve, and grace is when we get what we don't deserve. And you say it's kind of semantics, but anyway, it's an issue that I think we can understand because grace is so important to learn how to tap into, and we're going to show you that today. We also looked at the idea that we don't get good to get God, we get God to get good. So, you know, a lot of people think, you know, and I've done this, you know, witnessing to a lot of people. A lot of people think they got to clean up their act before they can come to church, before they, you know, can even approach the doors of the church. You know, and that's just false thinking and false theology in their thinking, because it's going to hold them back, because if you could get good enough for God, then Jesus Christ would never have had to go to the cross. So that's not how it really works. Now, remember, we also looked at the idea that grace is unmerited and inexhaustible, meaning that you don't deserve it, and it never runs out. And we looked at the idea of free refills, right? Everybody likes free refills. You know, how many would just like to have that cup, and anywhere you go in life, you just fill up your cup? Well, that's what it's like with God when it comes to grace. Free refills. You don't deserve it, but it's inexhaustible. You think God, you know, some people think God's too busy for me. Or, you know, God's going to run out of stuff. God will never run out of stuff. You know, we need to always be in the position where we can, you know, receive from Him, knowing that His everything He has is inexhaustible. Never runs out. Well, then last week we looked at the issue of justification or justified. Remember, that's Christianese. We looked at some words that, you know, were maybe not as prevalent in our culture, words that you and I don't use every day. But yet, when it comes to the things of God, you know, we need to have a working understanding of some of these words. And the word justified is talking about just as if I have never sinned. And we looked at the illustration that, you know, we know that it's a legal side of what God did for us. God did this for us. And our sin debt has been wiped out clean, and God has deposited righteous in our account. We looked at the illustration that if you owed a bunch of money to the IRS, and they sent you a letter that you owed like $200,000, and then all of a sudden, you know, and you have no means of paying it back, and then all of a sudden you got another letter, say your tally's zero. You know, that's justified. Well, then the righteousness goes on that God went ahead and put stuff in our account. And another idea of justification is the fact that, let's say you were very thankful. How many would love to have $200,000 maybe forgiven of debt? You know, you'd be excited. You ought to be. Well, then what happened is we looked at the idea that you want to call the IRS and find out who paid that debt. I want to send them a thank you card at least, or else do something else. Well, you call them up and they look in their records and they say, you know, Mr. Gray, I have no record you ever owed that $200,000. I go, what? Yeah, you sent me a letter saying I did. I have the letter right here. No, I'm sorry. Our records show you never did owe that. And see, that's what justification is. Jesus Christ paid the debt so good that it's totally gone. And that's why we get God to get good. See, so that's how that kind of factors into it. Now today, with this passage, we're going to look at the idea how grace is our teacher. And this is really going to help us in our walk with God. This is where a lot of people miss out a little bit. Because they wonder why they don't grow, and they wonder why other people grow more than they do. You know, and we're going to try to unravel that today a little bit. Because I think, you know, I don't know about you, but if you put in the time, wouldn't you like get something out of it? Amen. You know, there's a lot of people just put the time in, but they ain't getting nothing. And I think some of it's maybe wrong thinking and stuff, and that's why we got to unravel that. Okay, now as we looked at this passage, it says that the grace is instructing us to deny ungodliness and things like this. So, we see here that grace teaches us. Grace teaches us. So, grace took care of the legal side of our redemption. That's kind of what we looked at, you know, last week. And then also, we know that grace is taking care of the vital side of our redemption. Just like, you know, if you're married, we looked at that illustration. You know, just because you have a piece of paper, you are legally married. But that doesn't mean people live like they're legally married. Some of them still live like they're single. And they wonder why they're in strife all the time. You know, they don't understand what it takes to, you know, just because you have the paper doesn't mean you're good to go. I mean, it makes you legal with the state and with God, I guess, to some degree. But yet we need to work on that relationship, and that's what we're going to look at today. So we know the legal and vital. I'm throwing some Christianese out there. You've got the legal and vital side, or another way of putting these is positional and temporal. Legal and positional is one thing because, you know, Jesus positionally put us with Him in the heavenly places. I don't know if you see yourself like that now. But you're no longer some old sinner just saved by grace. But when you become a Christian, you're elevated to a new level, a different level than you've ever been before. And sometimes it's hard to accept. But, you know, God brought us up to His level. You know, a lot of times we try to dumb God down, don't we? We try to bring God down to our level all the time. And that's okay to have a little bit of understanding. But we need to see the fact that God loved us so much that He brought us up to His level. Now, the word that we're going to look at here is the word instructing. So grace is a teacher. Grace instructs us. And there's a reason why we need God's grace. And that's because we can't do it on our own. Now, instructing, the word here means in the Greek, it talks about training up a child or to train or educate in the moral and spiritual nurturing of a child. One of the greatest responsibilities a parent can do is to train their child up in the things of God. I commend each and every one of you today that have gotten your child to church and trying to help them in their spiritual journey. Because I will say this, in my own opinion, and I believe, you know, God will back me up on this, is that a lot of times we kind of miss the mark in the sense we want to send them to college, And that's all good. We make all these sacrifices for other things. And then we try to, you know, help our kid get ahead. But what good does it do if they only have comfort in this life and they have no comfort in the life to come? Because getting to know God and getting God in their life and helping them to be able to walk with God is going to be an eternal decision that we as parents make. And it's one of the most important decisions. And, you know, I commend you for doing that. And you need to pray for others because many don't hold that same value. And it's important that we do that. So we know that grace made us legally new. Now, grace wants to make us vitally better. And this is how we're going to start to unravel this a little bit. And we're going to unpack this, what this means for the grace of God to start working in our life. And we're going to try to see how we can approach this and how we can do this. It's very simple, but yet sometimes we forget exactly what God's wanting to do. Now, how would you like to practice what you preach? Amen. Have you ever preached something you didn't practice it? You know, us as parents do that, don't we? We preach something to our kids that we have no intention of ever doing. Come on, now be honest. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? But see, if we understand, you know, what it means to be able to tap into God's grace and what God's grace can teach us to be able to live a victorious life, then we can start to actually do exactly what the Word says. You know, it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to live it. And that's where the rubber meets the road. So, I feel that grace is somewhat age-appropriate, and we're going to look at that. We've looked at this before a little bit, but what amazes me is that the same grace can help a new believer that can help a believer that's been walking with Jesus for 20 years. The same grace. The same grace is operating in each of their lives. And to be honest, I would wager, although I don't gamble, is that in this room, there are all variants type of places you are in your walk with Christ. Some may not even be a Christian yet. Don't be looking around at each other wondering who it is. Some might be in the kindergarten. Some might be third grade. Some may be college level. You know, we're all at different places in our walk, and that's okay, as long as we're growing. But what's amazing is that a kindergartner and a senior in their level with God can hear the same sermon, and each of them can get something out of it. Because I don't know about you, but if you went to kindergarten class, now I don't know how they do it now, but I'll be honest, see Dick run. Now, I don't know, maybe they don't teach that yet. I don't know what they do in school now. Or, you know, Jane, you know, loves Spot. That wouldn't give me nothing. It's well below me. But yet, because of the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit. See, that's how it works. See, grace is not a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. But He's called the Spirit of grace. So the Spirit of grace is the one that, shall we say, distributes His strength and this knowledge to each and every person, wherever they're at with their walk with God. And as we all learn to be able to tap into Him, then we can start to experience His presence better. Now, we're going to look at what grace is not for a minute. I want to backtrack a little bit. Now, verse 12 tells us what grace is not. And it says there in verse 12 that, you know, it says it's instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Okay, did you notice it said present age? Doesn't mean when you get to heaven, right? Present age is right now where you're at and where I'm at. That's where we're at in this present age. So it tells us we're going to be able to do it. Now, a term that we've used before is the idea of greasy grace, right? You've heard that before, greasy grace, however part of the South you're from. So this kind of grace is where people kind of think they can go out and do what they want. And, you know, there's a movement, especially, I'll tell you what, the technology we have is awesome, but what it has done it's promoted some people who are not mature enough in their walk with God to be able to throw out information on the World Wide Web that is not really totally founded in the Bible. But yet, they put it out there, and people could think they're an expert, and I call these guys gracers. There's a movement of gracers, and what they do is they have a misunderstanding of what it means to be under grace and what that's talking about. We're going to break that down just a little bit. Remember, I talked about sometimes Christians, now maybe you've done this, anybody who's driven has probably veered off the road a little bit, haven't we? Hit the shoulder? Nobody? A few of us ain't. Well, come on, be honest. Maybe you went a little farther than the shoulder. Maybe you had one tire off in the ditch. Been there, did that. Well, what happens is that when you do that, sometimes you have a tendency of whipping the wheel back, don't you? And when you whip the wheel back, you usually miss the middle, and what happens? You go over to the other side. You're in the other ditch. And that's what happens. Sometimes people who have been raised maybe in a church or a family where there's a bunch of rules and regulations, they don't like it, so they overcompensate. And they go off on that. As a matter of fact, I had a distant family member when I was a kid who died because of this kind of accident. They went off the shoulder a little bit, and they whipped it back, and either they went into other traffic and they got hit, or they went down in the other ditch and rolled. I can't remember the story totally. So it's very dangerous when you overcorrect, right? So we don't want to overcorrect. Now, and that's what can happen if we kind of, are spending too much time in a ditch, and then God reveals it to us, and then we kind of get in trouble. I remember when I first got saved, I had a friend, and, he came from a certain denomination. And I'll tell you, once he came out of that denomination and got saved, he was death on that denomination. I mean, he was like a rabid coon. He would just be mean and just had nothing good to say. He overcompensated. See, he might have had a bad experience there, and then he went off, and then he started doing things, and it wasn't really glorifying to God. And we want to make sure that everything we do, we're glorifying to God. Now, what happens when the gracers get involved, and I'll be honest, it makes my skin crawl. This is one of my pet peeves. I have only a couple in life, and this is one of them. And what happens when they go out and sin willfully, you know what it means to sin willfully, right? That means you know it's sin, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's kind of rebellion, in my opinion. I don't know. But anyway, they're out sinning willfully, and they say, grace. I'm under grace. And they grin about it. And I'm sorry, but if I'm sinning, I shouldn't be grinning. Amen? Hey, somebody write that down. That's good. Because we should be disturbed if we do that. It should bother us a little bit. We all stumble. Nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes and doing things like that. But, we don't want to do that. Remember, there are the difference between grace and mercy. Because really, I don't want to be too legal about this. But what it is really they're under mercy. Because remember, mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. But grace is when we get what we don't deserve. So when they're sinning willfully, they should be crying out for mercy. Oh God, give me mercy, because I need mercy right now. I deserve this, and I pray you don't give it to me. Right? See, grace is something different. And once you get this revelation, if you don't have it yet, you're going to start to grow exponentially in your walk with God. Because this will take you right to the top. You'll be jumping a couple grades. Have you, you'll jump a couple grades. And it's going to get you to the place where you're going to start to enjoy some of them riches. Now, before we get to that part, though, I want to do something else. I want to talk about another ditch that we get into sometimes. Those who get in the rules and regulations too much. You know what I mean? What they are is, we used to experience this, in Bible school, is that some people, especially there, would get to striving. You know what I mean by striving? They're trying too hard. And that's what happens sometimes. If you come out of a certain situation or circumstance in your life and you've been stumbling all along through that, and then all of a sudden, you try to quit. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to stop doing this. I remember for me, I was striving, I personally wanted to quit drinking alcohol for me because, it wasn't good for me, especially when I drove. Amen. It just amazed me. And that was my problem that I had in my life. Now, it may not bother you, but it was something that I knew was going to kill me because I made bad decisions. So I tried to quit a time or two. And I worked and I worked. And I was miserable. Just miserable. Because I was trying and trying. But no matter how hard I tried. Now, like I say, I'm not condemning anybody if they drink or anything. But for me, that was a problem. And you got to figure out what your problem is. If you can't figure it out, I'll tell you. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, you guys going laughing today. Come on now. Lighten up. So, if you get to striving, you get to trying too hard. And what happens is that it's not God helping us, but we're putting ourselves into works righteousness. And we're trying to do it by our own effort. And that's where we talked about before, about the grace plus. Yeah, I'm saved by grace, but plus, I need to read my Bible 15 minutes a day. I need to pray 10 minutes a day. And I need to do this, and I need to do that. And before you know it, you're in the works righteousness. So you wake up late one day for work, and you get up, and you don't have time to read, or you don't have time to pray. So now you're in condemnation. Why? Because you couldn't meet it, because you're in the works. You're measuring your relationship based on what you do, not on who you are. You're a child of God. You don't have to do anything to make yourself more a child of God. You're already in the family of God. So all you're doing when you read the Bible and praying is that you're enhancing the relationship. You're not trying to get any, shall we say, any closer or in better with God. But see, if you're in works righteousness, you're measuring everything by what you do. And I'll be honest with you, it's exhausting. Very exhausting. Because what happens is you get halfway there and you run out of gas. Right? Have you ever ran out of gas? Man, that's a bummer. It's embarrassing. To me, I don't know. I remember when I used to drive back from Denver, Kearney, Nebraska was halfway, and I could usually make it there. I always did, don't get me wrong. But I'll be honest, driving down that interstate in the middle of Nebraska, looking down at my gas gauge, and that thing was on E. And I go, you stupid, why did you do that? You always think you can go farther than you can. But yet, I wanted to just stop once, man. I was in a hurry. Like I had to be somewhere, but I didn't. Always tried to beat my last time driving home. Just measuring it. And see, that's what happens sometimes as a Christian. When we try to measure up, and we know we can't, because remember, we don't get good to get God, we get God to get good. And if we do that, that keeps freedom, and we walk in that freedom. And usually when we strive, and like I said, we witnessed this in Bible school, there's a few of the students came from tough situations, and I know their story, and I don't have the time to go into some of it, but primarily, their self-image was so bad because of the abuse that the enemy had brought into their life that they did things so they could look good to other Christians. You know what I mean? I mean, we was in Bible school and we were all young and dumb, you know what I'm saying? Just knew enough about God to be dangerous. And that's where we are sometimes, don't we? We know enough about God just to be dangerous, usually to other people. Because we don't know enough to walk in love. We just think we got to tell them all what we think. One of the stupidest things I thought is before I had kids, I thought I knew everything about parenting. Because I knew what the Bible said. Amen? Well, then when you have kids, it's a little different, isn't it? How you interpretate some of that stuff. All right, lastly, we're going to look at the idea of teaching grace. Now, I believe that everybody here, deep inside, we want to be more like Jesus. And that's what grace does, see? If you're doing something in your Christian walk and it's not helping you become more like Jesus, it's not grace. Because grace helps us in our walk with God. It helps us. It teaches us. It reveals to us the things that, you know, we maybe need to know, some things that we understand. And like for me, when I got God in my life, and then I could easily, you know, one night, November, I think it was November 5th, 1983, I cried out to Jesus and he took the taste away. Just powerful. But see, that's when I said, God, I can't, but you can. And see, that was hard for me to learn. Because I'd always was a person who took care of business, if you know what I'm saying. You know, I took care of myself. You know, when I was 19 years old or 20, I just lit out for Colorado with a few friends. You know, I was just going to go out there and live for a while. Just loaded stuff up and left. You know, and cut my own path. You know, so I was used to doing things on my own and didn't really need a lot of help from anybody. Always had enough money to get by. You know, fairly talented in my work. Always rose to the top. So I trusted in myself. And see, what happened is, the more that we get to the tendency of trusting in ourselves is when we don't really learn how to trust in Jesus. So what helps me is that once we get into a grace is that we want to instead of have to. Now, we're not going to turn there, but 2 Peter 3:18, it says that we grow in grace. You can grow in grace. And God wants us to do that. And he says, grow in grace, and then it says, through the knowledge of our Lord. So that idea about growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to me, it's about relational. It's about getting to know him and be able to experience him and to be able to walk with him. And see, the more that you and I understand that it's more about him and his strength than it is about us and our ability is when we start to grow in grace. Because ability will only take you so far. It's the strength of God. And this is something that we practice every day. We start to walk in this. And as you walk in this, you're going to start to walk in a greater level of victory in your life. And we need to get to know the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit. I thought that song was beautiful, you know, that Emma sung about the Holy Spirit today. You know, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a thing. And one thing about the Holy Spirit being a person is that he can be everywhere at once. He can help each of us in our walk with God. And that's what helps it to ring true in each of our lives, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. The Spirit of grace is living with us, and he can be our mentor. One of the things that probably our culture lacks is spiritual mentors in our life. And that goes back to the age of the Facebook, internet, and all this stuff. You know, a lot of these young Christians, and they start spouting off everything they think they know, but they haven't really sat at the feet of somebody older and more seasoned in the things of God and been able to train them and teach them and take them around their arm and train them and doing that. So that's why we need that mentor. Next, we need to, you know, as well as that, you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you. Next, we need to develop lines of communication with God. Find your way. Find your place. You know, what is your best time that you seek God? Maybe you're a morning person. Maybe you're a night person. Whatever works for you. But find a way of developing those communications. And this is something important. Next, you want to hang around solid believers. It's going to rub off on you. This comes back into sort of mentoring. The Holy Spirit is the best mentor. But also, it takes hanging around other believers. And as we do that, we're going to be a little stronger. Now, if you're terrible at something, and I mean terrible, not good at all, doesn't it make sense for you to observe close up the people who are good in something? Now, I know I use YouTube a lot. Maybe some of you guys do too. When I don't know how to do something, I'll try to find it on YouTube. And that's okay. I've learned a lot of things off YouTube. But I'll tell you, it's one thing to learn how to change a tire on YouTube, but it's a totally different thing if you've got to have your engine overhauled, isn't it? You know, I'm okay with learning how to change a tire on YouTube, but if my engine blows up, I want a mechanic standing right next to me, showing me, because there's some stuff that YouTube just can't show you. You need a personal relationship with somebody that's done it several times to show you the way. And that's what Christianity's all about. That's what getting into small groups and developing relationships and friends in the body of Christ. Spending time with each other. I'll be honest, I've learned a lot of things from people that I thought could never teach me anything. Amen. Because we all come from different places and we experience different things. And something that you've experienced can be a real blessing to me if I'm willing to listen. And that's why we need each other. I've always felt that water seeks its own level, but cream rises to the top. And that's why, you know, what happens is when somebody becomes a new Christian, sometimes the last thing they want to do is hang around a mature Christian because they're afraid they're going to mess up. So water seeks its own level. So what happens is that people sometimes who are struggling with the same sin gravitate towards each other. Okay. You think, well, yeah, that's normal. That's not good. None of you know how to walk in victory. None of you know how to win. You need to step out of your comfort zone and try to attach yourself to somebody who got the victory in it. Somebody who has defeated that in their life. And then you can learn from them. And that's how we start to leap over these grades. Instead of it taking so long, then you start to get to the place where it's a lot better. Because what I've watched, and I've, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm not stupid. I've been doing this a long time. Some of you might say too long. But what happens is people hang around Betty Bucketmouth or Negative Nelly or Sinning Sam. And they make friends with them because they feel comfortable around them. Because maybe they're worse than them. So you feel better about yourself. Yeah, at least I'm not bad as that person. You know? But who you need to be hanging around is you need to see yourself as cream rising to the top. You need to be hanging around Free to Faith, right? Or Sanctified Sarah, right? You hang around these people, then you start to grow. But see, it's up to you. See, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He will not force you into doing any of these things. Anything that we've discussed today, he will not make you do it. But he's waiting on you to step out and do it. So, we grow in grace, we grow by grace. How do you do that? Is you got to be honest with yourself, but don't be hard on yourself. And there's a fine line. Be honest, look in the mirror. Where am I at? Where do I need to be? But then don't beat yourself over the stick with it. Over the head with a stick. You know, don't make excuses, but look for opportunities. And to me, it comes down to this revelation as I close. Are we wanting to live our life with God's help and strength, or are we wanting to live our life by our own strength? And that's as simple as this whole thing is. If you wake up every day and the first thing you say is, God, I need you in my life today. And I want you to take control and teach me. Just some simple prayer like that, and then pay attention half the time at least. You're going to grow. Amen? Let's pray.